Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views, bloody premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to AEW Rampage this week after what was a far better episode of AEW Dynamite. And one question, I do apologise, before we dive into looking ahead to some of the matches tonight, someone tweeted us a question that I just glanced at and I forgot to write their name down, but I thought it was a really intriguing point when it comes to both Rampage and Dynamite. Because of the, you know, night and day, in my opinion, and in our opinion, I think it's fair to say, difference between last week's Dynamite and this week's Dynamite. Do you think the reason sometimes why Dynamite gets a bit all over the bloody place is because of Rampage being taped on the same night as well, and therefore do sort of live Rampages like tonight in, I believe, Washington, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, the same building.
Yeah, help Dynamite.
I think it's an intriguing point that's worth discussing. For me personally, I've seen enough fantastic Dynamite episodes that were also taped live on the same nights on which Rampage was taped live to tape. So I feel like there's historical precedent that suggests that there's nothing really to that point. But I can see the logic behind it if you are booking effectively and formatting three shows at once, which they tend to do typically more often than not, Dark Elevation, followed by Live Dynamite, followed by Live to Tape Rampage. Like, that's a lot when you are going through that given week. You're probably going to indulge your tropes more because just everyone kind of knew that there was going to be some kind of impact on the quality of Dynamite when Rampage didn't want. The ideal scenario would be SmackDown in 2000, where both shows were great, Raw and SmackDown. We didn't want Nitro and Thunder. I feel like it's more Raw and SmackDown of 2000 and 2000 alone, other than Nitro Thunder deal. But ultimately, they're still writing the same amount of content that week. Just one happens to take place 2 days later. Like, they've already formatted the show because we know the full card in advance. Maybe there's something to it. I don't personally see it, but it's a good question.
And maybe there's something to booking the whole show in advance that other companies could think about. I've just done the SmackDown preview and I'm really wound up that I had one match to preview.
What was that?
A thing. It was the incredibly original Charlotte Flair versus Naomi championship contenders match that definitely didn't happen 2 weeks ago.
I didn't watch that one and I didn't. I don't think I'll watch the next one either.
Doesn't matter.
I do watch it. It's very easy to watch casually when you don't have to review it, but you have to keep it in there, in some part of your brain, to inform your predictions for the show going forward. That will never really happen anyway.
It's worth a listen, the SmackDown preview this week, because Michael Hamflett in it booked one of Michael Sidgwick's least favourite, I wouldn't say characters, but things. And that was the return, Sidgwick. And I'll move very quickly on after I get either a word or a noise from you to react to this. That was the return of the SmackDown Fist.
What's he done that for? What has he done that for? You know, they already brought it back in digital form when everyone pissed and moaned. Maybe only the physical fist itself has the powers to book a good TV show. Maybe the digital one just doesn't have the same sentience.
But if you want to find out how he booked it, SmackDown Preview, wherever you get your podcast from.
That's a good plug.
Right, we've got lots to look forward to on Rampage tonight, though. We've got Hook in action.
Something to do with Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hook in action, the TBS Championship on the line, a potentially show-stealing tag team match. And let's start with the in-ring return of Jon Moxley. Fantastic to see him back.
Yeah, absolutely. He looks in tremendous shape.
Oh, those, like, not before and after, but you know what I mean. The previous shots of him that everyone was sharing on Thursday morning was really sort of eye-opening, I think it's fair to say.
Genuinely remarkable. And yeah, fair play to the guy. Like, I've struggled with things that I just simply cannot stop doing to the detriment of my health and my well-being. So absolutely fair play. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do. He appears, it'll always be with him. So yeah. This is always asterisked, but he appears to have done such a tremendous job of getting himself like back into a healthy state for him, for himself and his loved ones. And it's like, I can be greedy now. I can fantasy book Jon Moxley spots, and how great is that to do? Ethan Page is an ideal performer, an ideal opponent for him. Ethan Page is a guy who is going to be in the mid-card. I think he's got potential to do something else, but for now, he's a mid-card guy. He can eat pins. It's just what he's there to do. I think he's an incredibly underrated worker. I think he's got great manipulation of the crowd.
Yes.
If you recall, the infamously great Titus Tits in the game promo was going south before he grabbed that microphone. They were getting, in fact, if you recall, dreaded what chance for Lambert and Scorpio Sky's shtick. Ethan Page just cut this incredible, furious promo. He's got, and I like Ethan Page, and he wants people to think this because he is playing a heel who wears, I was going to say he wears ridiculous outfits for heat purposes, but that's kind of what I wear in the summer.
Yes.
I wear,
well, you do wear it for heat purposes.
Yeah. I wear aviators and silly tropical shirts just for the vibe alone.
And the both of you pull it off.
Thank you very much. But the idea is he's meant to look like this dickhead who wears ridiculous clothes because you resent him for thinking he's the cock of the walk.
And yes.
He's got this incredibly smug, punchable face, but he's also got this like hulking frame so that he's not just this cheap heat who looks like a dickhead on purpose. Mm. Like, he's got like a decent thing going on. All of which is to say that is going to be incredible when Jon Moxley punches that smile off his face. I don't expect this
punches
to go...
Punches those aviators off his face.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't expect this to go particularly long. I reckon about a good 8 minutes. Because you want to protect Ethan Page. He's not like, with all due respect, a Peter Avalon or a Michael Nakazawa. Like, you want to invest in a Page going forward. I expect this to go 8 or so minutes. I would open the show with that, actually, to ensure the maximum level of volume, knowing that there's a certain tag match that is going to get that crowd right back up, following what I can only hope is like a really exhilarating high. I think the crowd will be with Moxley every step of the way. I think that it'll just be tremendous watching Ethan Page get the advantage via Scorpio Sky interference, and then Moxley killing both of them and, in fact, drinking their blood. It's just the perfect... get yourself back in the scene sort of match.
No, I love that. Great to have it as the opener as well, I think. Unless, the only reason I think this should main event, if they do that and instead have the tag match, maybe to open the show, what fire opening that would be, by the way, is if, and I know I'm fantasy booking, and let me dream, because I know he's off, injured, orbital bone injuries, etc. But that potentially doesn't stop Eddie Kingston making the save if Scorpio Sky and the Men of the Year use the numbers advantage on Moxley. Because all I really want, you don't have to do it this week. I think, you know, we've been spoiled already with Moxley's return. But that reuniting of those two would be a real moment.
It would be a real moment. And, you know, if Eddie's not physically cleared to do it yet, surely it's coming. Yeah. And it will completely bring the house down.
Right, let's move on. And I've got a question/joke for you to lead us into our next point.
Oh, Christ. You know, I've got the same dread, legitimately, as when Madcap Moss does his stuff on SmackDown.
Okay, well, it's right out of his playbook, okay? Without potentially severing relationships between us and AEW, obviously because we are paid chills, naturally.
Indeed.
Michael Sidgwick, who are the smelliest tag team in AEW? Well, before you say that and offend someone, I can tell you.
It's Roppongi
Vice. Pretty good, that, on it? That is a, come on. That's top 10 for me. They're facing the Young Bucks tonight. And
Dark Order. Don't laugh, it's not funny.
It's really good. Write it down.
Do some more?
I'll think some more whilst you talk us through what is, you know, a bloody brilliant tag match, as has been proven by their history together.
Yes, they, like, here's the thing. They're not going to play, like, transition spot highlights from the New Japan archives, to which they have access now as a result of the partnership. But my God, the highlights of Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice on Dynamite, they made those matches seem incredible. And they were, like, really, really great. Mm. But what I'm saying is they've kind of created an anticipation within me of, like, all right, okay, 5 stars easy. They're not going to show the worst bits, obviously, but, like, they kind of... The Young Bucks never phone it in. No. The Young Bucks, to the detriment probably of their long-term health, never phone it in. They love bumping daft on their heads. You hear reports of them getting a stinger every single quarter of the year. I love them for it. They're obviously my favourite tag team of all time. But there was just something about the history between these two teams and the way that they showed the North American TV audience it, that they want to create a sense of expectation. They've basically booked this match on the premise of, this match is great, and you're going to get it again. Here's something to expect. And he saw this absolutely incredible sequence of spots on this pre-tape. I think they'll be absolutely bang up for this. I think the Young Bucks will go over. And it's a little sort of, it's weird. About 2-3 years ago, if you had a set of the Young Bucks are watching their work in Roppongi Vice, I'd be like, cool, don't care. The meme was the Young Bucks worked about 4 tag teams in New Japan Pro Wrestling for like several years. Ghetto's never really cared about it as this long-term strategy. It was all, I don't want to say 50-50, but the belts were handed around without much prestige. So I was sick of this combination, but, you know, time allows you to sort of remember the good times.
And you've got the intrigue as well, and we sort of saw this in the promo building to this. The first hints, let's say, of a Trent heel turn.
Yes, absolutely.
Not saying it's going to happen tonight. He's not even getting anywhere near it tonight, but it's another, like I say, another step towards it.
The golden rule of professional wrestling is that when a wrestler returns and they want to do something new, they change their look. They want to disassociate people from the old version of the wrestler that they were familiar with. Not only if they're doing something new, but just when they come back in general. There's something about Trent intentionally making himself look incredibly hard, and the various body language displays we've seen from him make me think that, yes, he's going to turn. We might see a glimpse of it here. But ultimately, you're going to get like an incredible match between two teams who know each other very, very well, who've got this incredible history between them. Young Bucks will go over potentially with a Trent error or Trent being upset.
Miscommunication, yeah.
By Fury Rocky afterwards. Romero era, yeah. I expect them to go absolutely balls out on this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We also have a championship match to look forward to tonight. Jade Cargill's first defense of her TBS championship against Anna Jay. Ideal first opponent for me, this.
It is. I'm very interested in this match. I'm interested in the entire card. Realistically, there's not something that I'd be happily skipping if I was a casual guy who didn't have to review it. And I can't say the same for many recent Rampages of late.
There's
certain matches where I'm thinking, well, I'm going to see the real thing at Battle of the Belts, for example. So, like, why am I really watching this? It's sub New Japan, easy booking. But I'm incredibly interested in this because I want to see how they react to what was genuinely a really nice moment for Jade Cargill that followed a really popular, heavily watched match that I thought was genuinely quite dreadful at points.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the lengths to which they are going to stick their heels in and if they are going to sort of change course on the way that they present the Jade Cargill character, because I think she gets pretty badly exposed when she goes over 5 to 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it went about 10, 11, 12, the match against Ruby Soho, and there were just certain times when they were getting lost, when they were clearly sort of, you can see the person going through the gears and thinking about what they're doing, it just breaks the immersion. You could see them literally stagger into any kind of bump or pinning reversal that required a lot of athletic movement and just...
Which turnbuckle are we working on? Yeah.
It was very, very bad. So it's interesting because they like Anna Jay. They treat her as a real prospect. She often gets flattered into defeat. She never gets squashed. But do you squash her because that's what Jade Cargill is significantly better at? Or do you run the... What's more important? Protecting Anna Jay as a performer or as a character. Because if she loses, you could do a really good 5-minute match. And most wrestling promoters should absolutely embrace the fact that you can do a really good 5-minute match. Is it more important at this point to, like, too many wrestling fans conflate the length of a match with the quality. Do they give in to that temptation and go, oh, we'll give them 8 minutes?
Too many New Japan people think that,
yes,
as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Do they say, oh, well, it will look better if Anna Jay loses in 8 or 9 minutes than if she loses in 4 or 5? Is it more important to do that, or is it more important to put everything behind the champion you're pushing now?
I'd say the latter without question.
Absolutely. Because you ruin both, or you ruin the aura of both performers if you put them in there for 9-10 minutes and the match is terrible. Or you could actually put everything behind the champion, have a destroy Anna Jay with one hope spot in 4 or 5 minutes. Because you can protect people in 4 or 5 minutes. I would absolutely hope that they go this route.
And talk about a showcase of, like, future AEW stars. She's already a champion, but yeah. Jade Cargill squashing Anna Jay and Hook destroying Serpentico on this show. Just like, yeah, we don't just have to sign people from outside. I know people throw that at us. I completely agree. I'd do a 5-minute. But you can also slightly factor it in to protect Anna Jay a little bit. Like you say, I think Anna Jay will easily recover from a 5-minute loss to Jade Cargill. A, because it's Jade bloody Cargill. Yeah. Just look at her. Because Ruby Soho, you would entrust more to lead Jay Cargill through a longer match. And we all saw how that went. Like you said, Anna Jay and Jay Cargill are without doubt greener than Ruby Soho. So I just wouldn't take them into that deep water just in case. And also, finally, point C, the whole point of this is Anna Jay said in the promo on Wednesday, like, you think you know about me, but I'm the person who, like, wrapped barbed wire around my arm to try and win a match. She's just had that Tay-Jay bloody brawl with the Bunny and Penelope Ford. So have her go into it thinking, well, the only way I win this is if I just batter her from the word go, and I can't let her get any opportunities.
I was just about to make the exact same point. Like, from a character perspective, it makes all the sense in the world to have Anna Jay just realize no one's beaten this woman yet. I've got a little percentage chance of doing it, if I'm being perfectly honest. I'm just going to aim loads of forearms on her face and hope to get the job done as quickly as possible. And there's no point in trying to work a hold or work a limb. No. She's simply too strong. So I think to the ultimate benefit of the quality of the match, and indeed from a character storytelling perspective, this kind of has to go short at this point.
Yeah, Jay Cargill retains that.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Finally, we have Hook versus Serpentico. As much as Serpentico has protested against it on social media, if any of you seen his text message he planned to send to Tony Khan before deleting it and just slagging off Nyla Rose instead. Can anyone stop Hook? He's on a bit of a roll, isn't he?
Well, Serpentico can't.
No.
But I don't care, because I just want Hook to be sent. I like this match. I hope it builds more to the QT Marshall thing.
I forgot about that.
I generally thought that was a really good storyline development. And as we've covered before, QT Marshall had a significant role in Hook's training, so you'll know exactly how to flatter him in a match when they eventually do that one. I'm interested in this one because I like how they've given like a diverse range of opponents. He's already beaten the feckless jobber character in Fuego del Sol, and it was great. When they did the Bear Bronson match graphic, I was thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, like, that's great, because we know we're going to see some kind of ridiculous suplex that he has no right to pull off, but it's Hook, he can. The third one didn't do much for me, but this one feels like Serpentico can fly. One of my favorite spots, I'm such a mark for it, is when a submission expert like plucks a high flyer from midair and just traps them. So I feel like you might get a spot where Serpentico tries to do some mad like moonsault or flip or dive and he just gets snatched out of midair by Hook, because they always carefully build one holy moment out of a Hook match, whether it's just that which is Hook full stop against Fuego, the no-sell pile driver and the deadlift suplex against a monster and Bear Bronson. We didn't get one in Aaron Solo, so I think we need one tonight out of Serpentico, and just him getting snatched out of midair would be fantastic.
Yeah, completely agree. One of my favourite WCPW moments actually involved Jay Lethal going for the lethal injection and Zack Sabre Jr. just going, nah, good night.
Yeah, no, it's
something
class.
Along those lines. Or, like you say, Serpentico coming off the top and getting caught with that sort of head and arm suplex thing that Hook's introduced into his game as well.
If any listeners haven't seen Minoru Suzuki versus AJ Styles from the 2014, I think it is, New Japan G1 Climax, and if you like those kinds of spots as well, watch that match. There's an incredible one in there. Like, just incredible.
Did a really interesting podcast this week, me, you and Andy, about booking the next champions of all the belts in AEW. Go and check that out, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. Do you think Hook will have a title around his waist in 2022?
Or, I mean, they certainly built something with Cody Rhodes and Hook on the Christmas Day Rampage taping, or the taping for Christmas Day, I should say. That doesn't necessarily mean that Cody has to have the TNT title to put Hook over. Hook doesn't need a title at this point. Mm. He's so ridiculously over. There's still, like, you have to be careful when critiquing Hook, because he's got a massive Stan army and he's amazing, and you don't want to spoil the fun by like really analyzing his work when he's like, what, three matches deep into his career.
Yes.
But I still think this is the way to go with him, slow and steady. If he doesn't need a title, don't give him one. There are still times when he's on the sell that he kind of doesn't know what to do, and half of that is because he's never had to do it on TV. It's not part of his character, and just his footwork when he's getting led into the corners and the ropes, it doesn't feel like it's very fluid, because it's not something he's been really instructed to do yet, and that will come. There's still loads left for him to do to develop into a championship caliber top star. And if he's still over doing stuff like this, and he is, he gets a Road Warrior pop for a match graphic, then I don't think there's any need to do that yet.
But yeah, I completely agree. Dominating victory over Serpentico tonight, and yeah, more steps towards QT Marshall, because I do like that. It's a great story point.
Yeah, it's a great story point. I think QT Marshall, again, having such a huge role in his training and his development, there's going to come a time when Hook will have to go a certain amount of time.
Mm.
And I think QT Marshall's the guy to get a long Hook match.
And to have that fear, I know you often talk about it with WWE, but I do occasionally like it, have that fear of QT Marshall being the guy to give him that first loss. Possibly because, guess who comes in to try and interfere? I just want to see Hook chucking Nick Comoroto around, if I'm honest.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, oh, no. Comoroto's here. And Hook's like, yeah, don't matter. He's on as well.
Yeah.
I love it. I can't wait to see what they do next with Hook. But yeah, let us know, well, maybe who you think should end the streak of Hook, or what title he should win this year, on Twitter, as well as your thoughts on this entire show at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The SmackDown preview is available right now. Wrestle Culture coming later on today, complete with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. And if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, easy for me to say, the review of Rampage and SmackDown will drop into your feed when we do them on Monday. But for now, this has been the preview for AEW Rampage. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.